The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of a divorce of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be preaching on the divorce clauses of the gospel passage. However, I am a divorced woman. I think we have to be very careful with what we read there, not to disregard, but until you've done all your exegesis and know exactly what's going on in that passage, be careful about taking things literally, and do not let yourselves be hurt by those words. I spent several days this past week at a diocesan clergy conference. The name of the conference was Heat and Light, harnessing the energy generated by conflict and anxiety to move toward positive change. Woohoo! What a thrilling conference! It actually was really, really great, and though it probably doesn't sound like it, conflict and anxiety aren't really the popular topics of the day, and besides, we're all fine, right? We don't have any conflict or anxiety here, do we? Of course we do. Anytime there's a problem to solve, this is so funny, right before we came into church, my sermon says, anytime there's a problem to solve, even something as small as figuring out if a staff meeting should start 15 minutes later, that has to do with the staff. But when we start church, there are so many people worried about when I'm supposed to ring the bell for you to stand up. Yeah. That generates anxiety, right? That puts a little, it's not big, it's not going to change our lives, but it injects anxiety into the system. A lot of what we talked about at the conference was the need for people to be comfortable enough with themselves to talk about their anxiety or to voice their concerns or conflicts without doing harm to relationships. As it turns out, the only way to do that is to build trust. And the way to build trust is to share information, to let people know where we stand, to speak the truth and be kind when we do it, and when we disagree, to do that with tenderness and understanding, knowing that we likely only know a little bit about what's really going on under the surface for that other person. And we ought not to pretend otherwise. Disagreement does not need to be disagreeable, and it can lead to a broader understanding for all of us if we will only adopt a posture of curiosity rather than judgment. When what we're trying to do is to create and preserve and nurture relationships, when the point is loving our neighbors rather than trying to win, when the kingdom of heaven is our aim, we can hold anxiety and even conflict quite gently, and we can let it teach us about ourselves and each other. But that is very hard work. And the reason that is so is because it requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to put ourselves out there to speak the truth in love. It comes more easily for some of us than others. Some of us learned that it's not okay to be wrong, that mistakes are utterly unacceptable. And when that's what we've learned, it will be harder to be curious. After all, when there's only one right way, there's really nothing to be curious about. Others of us have learned that it isn't safe to voice our concerns or opinions because we've so often been shut down by the people who are supposed to care for or about us. Some of us have learned that we have to push and be insistent and be the loudest voice in the room because we haven't always been listened to. But here, in this place, we ought to be able to practice. And we ought to know that we will be heard. This is a place where it absolutely must be okay to make mistakes, to practice, to be vulnerable, and to learn to trust more and more. If we can't practice being better humans at church, I don't think we're really being church at all. When we look closely at today's readings, all of them really, we can see these themes again and again. On the face of it, it looks like there are lots of rules and laws and instructions about how to behave. Those things are there, but they're there to make a bigger point. From Moses to Jesus, what we hear is that our attention should be on loving God and loving each other, which necessarily means being vulnerable and trusting the goodness in one another. For Moses, it was actually a matter of life and death. Today's reading comes near the end of Deuteronomy, Moses' rich and very long goodbye love letter to the Israelites. Moses was near the end of his life, and he wanted God's people to prepare themselves to receive all that God had to offer to them, so much more than just the land God promised they could call their own. God gave Israel the law as a great gift, not as a rule book. And the gift of the law was fullness of life. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you. That didn't mean if you did everything right, God would bless you. It meant that obeying God's commandments begins with loving God, which necessarily leads to loving neighbor. And when we do that, our lives and our communities are rich and full and life-giving. The law wasn't just about individuals, though it did offer instruction about how to live. The law was for the good of the whole community. And when followed both individually and collectively, the law was life-giving for the whole community too. As it turns out, the way we treat each other is the way we love God. See, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses, Moses said. It was no different those thousands of years ago than it is today. We make hundreds of choices every single day, and each one of those choices takes us toward or away from God. Every single one, no matter how seemingly trivial. Choose life, Moses said. Choose life. The Apostle Paul used different words to say the same thing. He was writing to the people in Corinth, a small group of followers who were divided, quarrelsome, and jealous of each other. They were behaving badly, and because he is Paul, he can never resist calling people out. But still, his message is so much deeper than just making people wrong. We all have a common purpose, he tells us. We are all laborers in God's field. We cannot do the work of the kingdom when we're factious or jealous or quarrelsome or self-righteous. The way we treat each other is what matters. The way we treat each other is the way we love God. Jesus' words for us today are strong. Tear out your eye, cut off your hand, don't even call someone a fool or you're burn in hell. Those are very disturbing words, and if we're not careful, we might just call them hyperbole and set them aside. But we would be fools ourselves to do that. These words are intended to get our attention. The only surprising thing is that Jesus needed to talk like that to actually get our attention. Jesus is doing just what Moses and Paul did. He's pointing to the life-giving law, but Jesus takes it one step further. I don't mean more rules, more scrupulosity, or more behavior codes that must be obeyed. You have heard it said, but I say to you. The way Jesus took the law a step further was by intensifying the importance of loving, trusting relationships. What Jesus was saying then and is saying now with all those bold proclamations is that nothing, absolutely nothing, is worth damaging our relationships with each other. It isn't enough not to murder somebody. Being angry with them sucks the life out of you and out of them too. It isn't enough not to sleep with someone else's spouse. Just thinking about such things is dishonest, divisive, disrespectful, dehumanizing. It will hurt you, and it will destroy your relationship with that person, with her spouse, with your spouse, and with your God. Loving, trusting, life-giving relationships are so important, in fact, that Jesus makes some of the boldest statements of his life about them. If your eyes or your hands or any other part of you is compromising your relationships, you'd be better off chopping them off. If you hadn't been paying attention before, perhaps those words will get your attention. The law of love Jesus proclaims is absolutely essential to our having life-giving lives. We can't even come to the altar to offer ourselves to God if we know somebody has a problem with us. If someone has something against you, not if you have something against someone else. If you remember that someone has something against you, it is incumbent upon you to go and make things right. That is a pretty hard and tender and vulnerable thing to have to do. But these aren't suggestions. Jesus is actually making directives. If we cannot even come before God because we have broken relationships, I think Jesus must be saying that the extent to which our relationships are broken is the extent to which our relationship with God is broken. The way we love each other or don't is the way we love God or don't. There's a reason for all the commandments in our reading today, and it isn't to give us a list of behaviors to engage or avoid. The commandments we find in every single one of our readings today call us to rich and abundant life in God. Lives that give life and light to the world. It isn't enough to check off the boxes and to do everything right. We're called into honest, trusting, loving, and transparent relationships with everyone we encounter. We are called to conform our lives as best we can to God, not because of right or wrong, but because doing that is life-giving, not just for us, but for everyone around us too. That's how we build the kingdom of heaven right here on earth, by building communities that are tender and strong and vulnerable and true. Communities that aren't based on getting things right or following rules or checking off boxes, but communities that can count on the promises and commitments we make to each other because we know our relationships are treasures, gifts of unspeakable value that are to be nourished and nurtured and handled with the utmost care. Because it really is true. The way we love one another is the way we love God. Amen.